guest.
Thank you for having me.
Hello, my name is Ginger Feldman from High and Mighty Therapeutic Riding and Driving Center, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acra.
Radio Theater 3 p.m. Thursdays on WGXC Creative Community Radio.
Tonight on Radio Theater, Orson Welles goes camping naked with a bearskin rug. And Amos and Andy and Raggedy Ann and Andy get together and they have Amos and Raggedy Ann and Andy show. That'll be fun. Also, tiny children saying things they can't quite pronounce. That is a really good part of the show. Radio Theater.
Trust and lifetime stretching forever.
breaking the heart.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Iqra, Catskill, and Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia counties. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fahim. I am 13 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Mandy. I also work at the Hudson Area Library, and I'm 30. And also from Hudson.
Hey. And we're here every week talking about books from 3:30 to 4.
Books we love, books we sometimes hate, but mostly love.
Yeah. And we're usually here with our friends Amelia and Mashuda, but they couldn't be here today. But we are glad to have Fahim back after a brief hiatus. And we're excited to welcome Mandy to the show today.
Yay.
A special guest.
Yay.
Hooray. But yeah, so we talk about books every week, either that we're excited about or that we're reading, and sometimes other bookish things. And we always start with a poem. And today we're going to listen to a poet reading their poem. So I went to the Edna St. Vincent Millay, her home in Austerlitz, her historic home. The other day, it's called Steepletop, which I learned is named after the steeple bush, which is a plant that apparently grew around there. I was always wondering why it was called Steepletop. I learned that on the tour. It was a lovely tour. And I used a museum pass from the Hudson Area Library to go.
Yay! So if you listeners out there want to go visit Edna St. Vincent Millay's home, come to the local library and get your pass.
But it was a very interesting tour about a very interesting poet. And I don't read her poems that often. And I was reading them aloud because there was a poetry trail where you can, you know, walk on this trail and there's every once in a while there's a poem that you can read. And so we were reading them as we went. And I was like, I don't know how to read these poems. I wish I could hear her read them and realize that she was alive during a time when there were probably recordings of her. So I looked them up and I found it kind of fascinating the way she reads her poems.
We listened to it right before the show started,
yeah.
And it sounded amazing.
So we're going to play one for you. Let's see.
We were very tired. We were very merry. We were very tired. We were very merry. We had gone back and forth all night on the ferry. It was bare and bright and smelled like a stable. But we looked into a fire. We leaned across a table. We lay on a hilltop underneath the moon. And the whistles kept blowing and the dawn came soon. We were very tired. We were very merry. We had gone back and forth all night on the ferry. And you ate an apple and I ate a pear. From a dozen of each we had bought somewhere. And the sky went wan. And the wind came cold, and the sun rose dripping, a bucket full of gold. We were very tired. We were very merry. We had gone back and forth all night on the ferry. We hailed, "Good morrow, mother," to a shawl-covered head, and bought a morning paper, which neither of us read. And she wept, "God bless you, for the apples and pears," and we gave her all our money but our subway fares.
I like the repetitive.
Yeah.
We were very tired.
I don't always love that in
me
poems,
neither.
And I don't always love rhyming either,
me
but
neither.
In this one it worked for me.
Yeah.
And that's called Recuerdo.
And it was a good, it was just the right amount of length too.
Yeah. She was a fascinating character. The tour was very cool. I didn't really know much about her.
Me neither. I'm gonna go do that.
But one of the things she did was translations.
Uh-huh.
And she knew, like, I forget if it was 5 or 6 languages.
That's really cool.
So, smarty pants there. And very brilliant poet, claimed poet.
Where was this poet from?
Well, she was born in Maine, but then she eventually made her way to New York City, and then... she and her husband bought a property a farm, like an old farm up in Austerlitz, which is in Columbia County. It's kind of outside of Chatham. And so that was her primary, that was her home until she passed away or died.
Yeah.
Does she have any family members who were from a different country that moved to America?
I don't know. Because of her voice?
Yes.
I don't think so. Or if I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I can't remember if there was anything with her parents, like where they were from. I think that was just maybe her voice, or like a voice of the time or something. I don't know. Sometimes when you watch like older movies, some of the ways people talk, it's like, what is that voice they're doing?
Yeah.
But you got to imagine like, in like 60 years from now, that people are going to listen back to
the way we
talk.
Yeah.
They're going to be like, what was that?
It changes.
Sounds
probably
so funny. But yeah, I wasn't expecting that because usually when I want to hear a poet read and I look up their poems and listen to them reading them, it's more about how they sort of structured the way they read it or how it sounds, how it flows, rather than the voice. Although Shel Silverstein is a nice,
I've never heard Shel Silverstein.
Interesting voice.
He was one of my favorites when I was younger.
Yeah.
My mom still, if he's like, if there's a book of his that's like put out, you know, I mean, he's been dead for a long time, but they like have continuously like put out some of his like lesser known material. And my mom, up until I would like 2 years ago, would still buy me the books, though they're for, you know, younger folks, but
cool.
Got the whole collection now.
Yay. Awesome. So I think we're going to share a few books that are coming out this week that sound pretty fun and exciting. Do you want me to start or do you want to? We'll start with Fahim. Okay. He's got one to share with us.
This book is called On a Sunbeam by Telly Walden. Telly Walden is the future of comics, and On a Sunbeam is her best work yet. It's a space story unlike what any you've ever read, with a rich lived-in universe and complex characters. Brian K. Vaughan, Sega, and Paper Girl said this. Two timelines, second chances, one love. A ragtag crew travels through the deepest reaches of space, rebuilding beautiful broken structures to piece the past together. Two girls meet in boarding school and fall deeply in love, only to learn the pain of loss. With interwoven timelines and stunning art, award-winning graphic novelist Telly Walden creates an inventive world, breathtaking romance and an epic quest for love.
Okay, that sounds really good.
Yeah. I'm excited about that one.
is that an author that either of you are familiar with?
I haven't looked her up yet since I saw that. Her name's familiar, but I think she maybe had another graphic novel memoir that came out recently. Well, I mean, that's not a memoir, but yeah. I think that might be why I'm remembering her name. But I'll have to look her up.
That sounds really good. That's the cool thing about graphic novels is like you can really get, like if they take place in space or they take place in a different time, you get all these amazing visuals. Mm-hmm. That's cool. All right, you want to hear about this book that I've got here?
Sure.
It's called Lady's Guide to Petticoats and Piracy by Mackenzie Lee. In this highly anticipated sequel to the New York Times bestselling The Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue, Felicity Montag must use all her womanly wits and wiles to achieve her dreams of becoming a doctor, even if she has to scheme her way across Europe to do it. A must-have for fans of Mackenzie Lee's extraordinary and Stonewall honor-winning novel. So, synopsis goes as such. A year after an accidentally whirlwind grand tour with her brother Monty, Felicity Montague,
I don't know.
That might be it, has returned to England with two goals in mind. Avoid the marriage proposal of a love-struck suitor from Edinburgh and enroll in medical school. However, her intellect and passion will never be enough in the eyes of the administrators, who see men as the sole guardians of science. But then a window of opportunity opens. A doctor she idolizes is marrying an old friend of hers in Germany. Felicity believes if she could meet this man, he could change her future, but she has no money of her own to make the trip. Luckily, a mysterious young woman is willing to pay Felicity's way, so long as she's allowed to travel with Felicity disguised as her maid. In spite of her suspicions, Felicity agrees, but once the girl's true motives are revealed, Felicity becomes part of a perilous quest that leads them from the German countryside to the promenades of Zurich to secrets lurking beneath the Atlantic. Okay, wow.
It sounds really cool. I haven't read The Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue, but I've heard rave reviews about it.
Huh. And so this is a sequel to that?
I don't know how much it's a sequel versus sort of like a spin-off, because I haven't read the first one, but it seems from the description, it seems like it may be that a character from the first book has their own adventure, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
I have to look into it.
And is there fantastical elements to this book?
I don't know.
Need to find out.
I think the first one, I think, had a lot of like history and romance, but I don't know if it had any fantasy.
Okay.
That was not my idea about the book, but doesn't mean it isn't true. okay. So the one that I am going to read about is called Dry by Neil and Jared Schusterman. It says, when the California drought escalates to catastrophic proportions, one teen is forced to make life and death decisions for her family in this harrowing story of survival. The drought, or the tap out, as everyone calls it, has been going on for a while now. Everyone's lives have become an endless list of don'ts. Don't water the lawn, don't fill up the pool, don't take long showers, until the tap runs dry. Suddenly, Alyssa's quiet suburban street spirals into a war zone of desperation. Neighbors and families turned against each other on the hunt for water. And when her parents don't return and her life and the life of her brother is threatened, Alyssa has to make impossible choices if she's going to survive.
Dang. Dun, dun, dun. That seems kind of real. Or it's just... Wow.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a dystopian...
Sounds like.
Yeah. Or, you know...
Or apocalyptic. Post-apocalyptic.
Post-apocalyptic. Pre-apocalyptic. During apocalyptic?
Yeah, just apocalyptic. but yeah, I read Unwind by Neil Schusterman was a Battle of the Books book a few years back for the middle grade battle. It was so good.
This is the same author?
Same author. And I think it's his son that he's writing with.
Oh.
I don't know how old his son is, if he's like adult son or teen son. But either way
is cool.
Have fun writing with your kid. That's cool. Awesome. So those are some of the books coming out this week. Obviously, only a few of the many. But yeah, check them out. So I know Fahim has a book he wanted to talk about today.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
This book is called Allegedly by Tiffany D. Jackson. It's about a person. It's about a female whose name is Mary B. Edison. She killed a baby allegedly, which means like accidentally, like she didn't mean to, and now like she has to face all these like trouble. But there's a huge question: did she actually kill the baby? There are people who don't like really. She was a child when that happened, and she was like taking care of a baby that is like that was like really little, and her mom was doing some things. I'm trying my best not to spoil it, and then yeah. I'm trying
yeah,
my
hard.
Best. Yeah. It's hard after you read the whole book and you know what's going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she has to go to baby jail and then like a group home filled with devils, like not actual devils, like people who are like acting like demons who are so bad that can like kill people there. So she has to face so many like bad events and stuff, and then like no one like really questioned. So she was a child, and a lot of people just like blame her. No one actually like goes face to face asking her every single question what actually happened. And then after like, and then she meets some good people who start helping her. She meets a lawyer who doesn't like charge any money, and then like good things start happening.
That's what I was just gonna ask you. I was like, does she meet any like caring, giving people along the way that help her out? So yeah, so she.
Just darkness all out.
Yeah. Does she have any parents or siblings in the book? Or
she has a mom.
Yeah.
Who I don't think is an actual mom. Like I think she's a stepmom. That's okay. My guess. I'm not sure. It's not a spoiler. I'm just guessing.
Yeah.
And she has a father, but she's guessing her father like abandoned her because of her mother. And she used to have a little brother who got killed.
Sounds like she's had a tough life.
Yeah, yeah. It does sound like a tough girl.
Yeah, she had a terrible life. Aww. Her mom used to beat her and stuff, yeah.
Oh, no. I've heard of that book, but I haven't
read it before.
Again? Allegedly.
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 Is it newer?
Yes, it published in 2017.
Oh, that's pretty new.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Did you find this at the library? Or are you reading it for school? Or?
I'm reading it for school.
Yeah.
Cool. Interesting.
Lots of good books out there.
Yeah.
But you liked it. It was good, even though it was so sad.
No, I didn't like it.
You didn't like it.
It was very dark, and when I started, it was so strange and creepy at the same time. And then at the ending, it just doesn't make sense. That's why I don't like it.
Mm. Did you like the main character?
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Wow. So Mandy and I, we're going to talk about some different books. Rather than like a chapter book, fiction book, we were going to talk about some short stories that we read as youth that we enjoyed.
Yes.
What was your pick for short story from your youth that you enjoyed?
Well, or I was gonna
maybe
talk-
didn't enjoy.
No, I no did. Print. I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I recently reread it too, and I'm not sure that it's actually something that's written with younger folks in mind. Oh, it's The Lottery by Shirley Jackson, which I read in, I think I was like a freshman. I was either in eighth grade or freshman in high school. Mm-hmm. And I'm fairly certain that that was where my interest in socio-political commentary in story writing and novels began. That story is extremely short.
Yeah.
It's like 15 pages, or I actually
maybe
don't know.
Even
I
shorter. Could, it's very
yeah,
short.
Maybe
yeah.
shorter, like 10 pages. And I remember, I guess I also will not try to give
yeah, it's hard
anything
to,
away.
It's hard to talk about it without spoiling.
Yeah. But it's really intense, and there's not a lot of time to get attached to any characters and good thing because
it's set in a town where there's a lottery every year, right?
It's set in like a nameless town in like a nameless place, I think somewhere in the United States in some time. And it's unclear.
Yeah.
It's like possibly in the future, possibly in post-war time. Anyway, regardless of it, there's some kind of lottery that everyone's both like excited by and like extremely afraid of.
Yeah.
And everyone's in it. Everyone
and you
puts
don't
want to
win the lottery.
You don't want to win the lottery. That's
it's not
all
a good
I'm
lottery.
Gonna say. And there's a lot of and everything that, you know, pretty much everything that everyone thinks about is like it goes back to that one aspect of their life. And I can't remember, does it happen once a year?
I think it's yearly.
Yeah.
I might be wrong, but it's definitely a recurring lottery.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it's every year.
Yeah. And, you know, it was like, it's fascinating to see her like write this picture of like small town America where everything like, you know, there's a farmer and there's the guy who works at the barbershop and it seems like it's a cohesive space. And then you realize there's like this undercurrent of, I don't know, a wild, wild, fear, I guess. But I don't know. I think it's a great social commentary, I think. And that's when I first got what that was.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hey. Awesome. Yeah, it's a good one. You should read it someday, Fahim. So the one I wanted to talk about is All Summer in a Day by Ray Bradbury, which I might be wrong in my memory, but my memory is that I read this for the first time in elementary school.
Wow.
Which is strange because it seems, I don't know, I guess it's not that intense or anything. But it's set on the planet Venus, and there's a class of students that's living there that is in class waiting with great excitement for the day that the sun is going to come out, because it just rains constantly on Venus. And if they were alive on Venus when the sun came out, they were so young that they don't remember it. But there's one girl in the class that does remember, and it's sort of about the day that the sun comes out and the sort of dynamics of the class. And there's also like a TV special when I was a kid that was out, so I think that's part of why this is also stuck in my brain a long time.
Yeah.
But I've read it again as an adult, and it's still, it's a very nice story. And I totally really like Ray Bradbury's writing. I need to read more of his short stories, but.
Well, we do have a short story collection of Ray Bradbury's on display at the library right now for our short story display.
In fact, that is what inspired us to talk about short stories today, because we have the short story display set up at the library, and people have been checking them out, which is great, because that's why we put things on display, so people will check them out. And so I was trying to fill in the gaps today from where people had taken books out, and I was like, Ray Bradbury writes a lot of short stories, I'll put one of his on display. And I chose I Sing the Body Electric. And then I've had the song I Sing the Body Electric from Fame in my head all day from that.
That's true.
And I was like, so we should probably talk about short stories.
You sent me the YouTube video.
I did. Because you are not familiar with the song.
I was gonna just say, I feel like there's not actually like working in the library, I don't see a lot of short story collections like in the young adult
mm-hmm.
collection or in the
there are some
yeah Fahim, do you guys read any short stories in school? Are they like collections, or are they just like standalone stories?
They're like poetry mixed with short story. Especially Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, oh, right. True. Classic.
Yeah. From what I've gathered from doing the show for a number of years is when they read short stories, it's like they're reading a short story that they're assigned. So mm-hmm. I think they probably just have it printed out rather than a book.
Like The Raven or something.
Yeah. There's, is it The Deadliest Game or I don't know. It's one of the those things where there's like a hunter on an island or something.
And he's hunting people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one that people talk about all the time.
Yeah. I do remember that one.
Cool. Well, we're actually just about out of time for today. We're going to hand it off to the afternoon show soon. But thanks, Mandy, for joining us today.
That was
good to see Fahim, as always.
Nice to meet you, Fahim.
Nice to meet you, too.
So we're going to be back next Monday to talk about some more books. And in the meantime, we hope everyone has a great week and reads lots of wonderful books.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Happy reading.